Preparation can take the look of many different things. And in a world where the financial market's looking at a potential recession within the next few months of a major impact on individuals, and with a world economic forum that's looking to consolidate power and is creating possible unrest in countries, to the Ukraine, Russia, and China, being prepared is something that should be on every single person's radar. So today, we're going to talk about it. Grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Welcome back, Bold Americans, to another episode. I'm so excited to bring you this episode. I wanted to bring it to you guys a few weeks ago, but my guest was a little under the weather. We'll put it that way. I'll let him share what he wants to share. But Average Joe Preps, I told you I was going to have an episode talking about some logical, easy things people can do to be prepared. We're going to start off at the basic steps today. So Average Joe Preps, how are you this afternoon?
Good afternoon, Greg. I appreciate it. I'm okay. I'm all right. Thank you. I'm just happy to be here, man. I know we've talked about this for quite some time, so it's really cool just to actually come to fruition. And I had an upset tummy. I'll leave it at that. I had an upset tummy that the doctors had to do some stuff to my tum-tum.
A little nip-tuck?
I wish they did a little nip-tuck.
It wasn't the type of nip-tuck most people would want.
It was not. It definitely was not. But you know what? That's one of the things you mentioned, preparedness and being ready. And honestly, I think first and foremost is part of your physical health as far as being ready. So making sure you're in tip-top shape just to function on a daily basis, I think, is a key thing. So that's what I didn't really have a choice. So I said, okay, yeah, yes, sir, no, sir, aye, sir. And doctor did what he had to do, and we're here.
Well, you're looking healthy in front of me right now.
Well, thank you, sir.
So that's good to see. I'm glad that you're with us, and I'm glad you're with us for our listeners, too, because I think we're going to get some practical solutions, maybe. And I don't even want to call it solutions, practical measures that people can take in order to try to maintain safety, security, as well as some prosperity in the event that somebody should need to move quickly in a disaster-type scenario or in a scenario that's unfolding that's making them unsafe in their place where they are. So before we get into all that, I want to maybe start off with, why don't you tell listeners about your background and why, where your emergency preparation background comes from, a little bit about your career that you want to share.
Well, I just share, honestly, emergency preparation background kind of came from a self-reliance background, you know, as a young kid, being taken into the outdoors to do some hunting and some outdoor activities with the family. You learn a good bit about being able to handle things on your own. So starting from there, and to be quite honest, and this may be a plug or not for them, but I think it's a great organization, but there's plenty of volunteer organizations that younger people can get involved in and grow into. I chose during high school volunteer fire service here locally, and I think that while not knowing that it was leading towards quote-unquote emergency preparedness, there's a couple things in my career and life that have provided me with a broad spectrum kind of approach to things versus just studying it, if you will. Which I think some of the folks today, they just, these doggone kids, they're just, you know, studying it and not actually practicing it before they get out into the field. But the volunteer fire service, learning some skills and just seeing that, you can make a difference, even though it may be small. I mean, heck, I was a 16-year-old kid being an EMT and firefighter. Now, I'm not as active, haven't been as active for a while because of some injuries and stuff, but I'm still kind of social with the and a member. But I highly encourage anybody around them to check out their volunteer fire service to, one, get involved in the community around you, find like-minded people that are willing to help, and also to learn skills, life-saving skills, not just EMT work, but anything. You know, there's a multitude of things that people can make use of in their daily life by learning the skill set with that. Then was in the Marine Corps after college for a little bit. Now, when I say that, I'm not trying to sit here and act like I'm some tactical operator. I know there's some guys that, you know, love to throw their hoorah. It's like for me, I own my service. I had some injuries and end up staying stateside. So I'm not some, like I said, some tactical operator, but I learned a whole lot. I know a lot of people that are tactical operators and doing all the fun stuff, if you will. But then an opportunity came to get involved in emergency management. A position opened up, and I interviewed for it, I kind of said the same thing here, that my background was kind of an amalgamation that made me ready for that position. And then you go and you get some more training actually in emergency preparedness. So I was in that field for probably about 11 years, a little over actually, 11 years. And I'm just here enjoying the sights and sound of America emboldened.
So he's got an extensive emergency services background, emergency preparation background, from the time of the EMT to the time in the Marines over to the time working in the field of emergency preparation for the past 11 years. So that paints the picture for my audience. You and I often talk on the phone about life and politics and what's going on in the country. Where do you see right now the most civil unrest in our political structure, or is it in something that's boiling over in racial tensions? What is the things that people need to hope to cool down stateside, not worldwide?
Well, it's as far as civil unrest, I think it comes from a the potential for it. And, I don't think there's, currently there's not mass civil unrest, but obviously there was a couple years ago with the protests and things. I think more so now is that information is so readily available. I mean, everybody's in their phone, everybody's in their whatever, the whatever verse they want to talk about, they're in some sort of verse, but you know what? They're not in reality. And I think that too much information leads to misinformation, and the people don't have the background to always process the information and discern. Now, you and I, like you said, we talk on the phone, but we're able to realize that, hey, not all this information from one source is the source to say, this is the end all be all of the information. I work for the government, and I'm not sitting here. I would say locally, there's not at your local level, you're not getting into a lot of the stuff. But as far as misinformation and different things, I think you have a lot of hardworking people that want to do a good job for the public and actually try to do their best for that. But I think that, honestly, the thing that I would say is boiling over or has the potential to boil over is really media and how the media is spinning everything. I always try to say that, I go to the gym, you go out to a bar and, or heck, even a coffee shop, and you sit and actually talk to people. You can have a cup of coffee or, beer and sit there and talk to somebody and be like, oh, cool. So we're not that far apart. And I think once people do that, you can actually sit there and say, wow, well, why are we actually arguing? And if you look at it, it's to me, I'm not anti-media. I'm anti-bad media. I think that there's good people out there, proper sources that are, trying to do their best to, such as you. I know you're, same as or similar mindset. We don't always agree on everything, but we're, that would be pretty boring if we did. But we are able to sit there and say, oh, I understand where you're coming from, or at least say, all right, I may not agree with that, but hey, that's your opinion. You're allowed to do that. And I think in this modern era, or at least I don't even want to say modern era. I mean, heck, the last 5, maybe 10 years, I don't know. Really, people have just kind of, what was it? And I'm not sure if I'm supposed to quote movies or not, but you know, it's a,
go ahead.
You know, but it's like, it's like Ghostbusters, you know, cats and dogs living together, you know, things like that. You know, you get this, the media's painting it, and then there's, it's crazy. And then this Ghostbusters too, you know, everything was so negative that it started building up the slime, you know, underneath of everything.
Isn't that where we are?
You know,
it really is.
The proverbial slime underneath, you know, whatever. And, you know, with that undertone, I'm not, you know, I just don't know. I don't want to sit here and say that one thing will switch it on, switch it off. But I do know that one thing that'll be a key component of it would be media and bad media. And I think that comes from, honestly, people trying to make money. You know, my thoughts on the World Economic Forum. And there's a whole lot of other global issues that I think we could get into. But I think for now.
Yeah, for this conversation, maybe we'll save Average Joe Preps and I talk about the world's problems a little bit later. Yeah. So media is something you're dialed in on, and media certainly is a powerful format. I look back on when you said 10 years, I think one of the things where our country got into dangerous territory was when Barack Obama was president, and it was Donald Trump that started the entire birther movement. And then you had Fox News on one side, you had MSNBC on the other side. And no one still to this day, I think, really has the entire full story of that entire thing. And I'm not a birther, just to make sure that everyone, I believe that things are. But my point is, where there's smoke, there's always a little bit of fire, right? And so I believe that there's probably more to Barack Obama's background of his life from what I researched and saw. But the news definitely polarized at one or the other, and they had two different camps. And all I really cared about that point was, this guy is my president, and he's going to be my president for as long as he's elected, until someone elects him out, or his 8 years are over. And it doesn't matter at this point because he's president. There's no going back, and, you know, high crimes and misdemeanors. So, you know, but that was kind of the beginning of media controlling the masses and the formation maybe of social media starting to explode. You saw on Twitter people fighting with one another over that. And then you get the Trump presidency, you get polarized more with him actually calling out the fake news media, mm-hmm. which is a thing. I mean, when you look at, there's a story that just came out today, I was reading, Google is censoring Republican candidates right now so they don't come up in Google search results, and they just got called out on it.
Surprise.
Big breaking story. Yeah,
surprising,
right?
Surprising, yeah.
So this fact that media can control this could cause some unrest in the election. We already have people that are militarized at the ballot box in Arizona, which is kind of voter intimidation. I mean, you and I are very pro two-way guys, but at the same time, you and I also probably could say there probably is a better measure for securing that ballot box than two dudes smoking some cigars and having a beer with their firearms.
It sounds like America to me. I mean, just sitting there, you know, you just mentioned two dudes with two you know, stogies and firearms and voting. That just sounds like America. Emboldened, actually. No, depends, you know.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you're training, right?
Yeah.
You're emergency prep. You don't put yourself in situations that you might have to use a firearm like that over something that should be secured internally by the government.
And, yeah, that's right. Just putting yourself in it. You know this as a concealed carry holder.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've taken any sort of training in concealed carry, military, whatever, you obviously try to de-escalate before anything ever happens. But the big thing with that is, you know, and I'm not familiar with the incident you're talking about, but the idea that there are citizens securing an election that is quote unquote run by the government. I don't know how that just seems very, heck, that just seems almost, you know, Civil War era kind of
right?
Stuff, you know?
Yeah, it was concerning to me when I said, my show yesterday, I talked about it pretty exclusively in my second half, mm-hmm. about how democracy's dead if you and I got to take our arms out and sit in front of a drop box to make sure the ballots aren't stuffed. If that's where we're at as a society, then we're already too far gone in democracy.
Well, I mean, you know, you and I both, you know, we're in Delaware here locally, for those not familiar with it. And we have an electronic voting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the attendants work off of, you know, you show an ID, which obviously I am.
Shocking, right? Why is that a problem for people?
Honestly, it's not a problem for people. You and I, everyday people talking, other people that are you and everyday people really, I don't think it's a problem for them. It's a problem for people that are legitimately trying to get votes that they should not have, and they're making it like it's a disenfranchised
we're blocking somebody from being able to vote because they can't show an ID. I'm sorry, how hard is it to get a basic ID? I'm not talking about a driver's license.
Right.
Everybody has the opportunity to get a basic photo ID at the age of 16, or even, I think it might even be younger in our state. That whole conversation is completely...
Yeah, that's a whole other... That's a whole other thing. You know, just the idea is, you know, you have to show ID for almost everything. You have to show ID to go in a bar and have a drink.
Right.
You know, why?
Secure the vote. And that's the first step. Hey, are you Greg Bolden? Yes, I am. Here's my ID. Right. Bam, I sign my name next to my ballot thing. And I go into the booth and I have my nice concealed vote that no one knows who I'm voting for. I hit the vote button and it's recorded. And the system here in Delaware is at least seems like it's good.
It didn't always produce the best results as far as electric.
Yeah, I know. We got a bunch of people I'd like to see out. All right, back to prep.
Back to prep, all right.
Talking about the situation like election denial, right, or voter fraud in the coming recession that we're seeing, the Bank of America saying come January we're going to hemorrhage 156,000 jobs. Obviously, when we start losing jobs and the economy tanks, people become less safe and secure because at that point in time, you have people that start stealing, breaking into homes. People become desperate to provide for their families. So let's start there. From a personal safety type where the world is getting a little bit more, let's say from a threat level, we've gone from green, everything's good, to orange. Okay, proceed with caution. What are some things as people are starting to see the world is getting a little bit more hostile? What are the first steps that somebody should take? And we're not even talking about prep to leave the home. We're talking about first steps and general awareness.
Well, I mean, you're mentioning again, we're referencing the global and national picture and the outside world and stuff like that. That's all great that, if you go online and you look at, YouTube, whatever, Rumble, or whatever site you want to look at, you know, you'll see a dichotomy. You'll see a couple of things in the middle, but you'll see the quote-unquote, tinfoil hat preppers, if you will, which ironically enough, they've been kind of on with some things in the past few years. And then you have the, hey, I'm a tactical operator. I'm going to show you how to get, water from a rock. And, granted, bushcraft skills and all that stuff are cool and useful in certain areas and things. However, as far as preparedness for a crazier world, honestly, I think that people need to just understand, hey, can I get, what happens with a regular emergency? What happens on we talk about 2A stuff, but your everyday carry, what do you have a little mini first aid kit? Do you have a tourniquet for heaven forbid something bigger? Do you have, just stuff in your everyday? And then from my perspective, I think folks, instead of looking at, global picture and getting scared and thinking, oh my God, I need to get all this stuff. And, is it nice to have some of the extra supplies and things? Yeah, but I'm not somebody of crazy means. And from my perspective, I think the biggest issue is, we're having folks, and you're talking about the economy, folks are living quote unquote check to check, and I think it's going to be less than check to check, coming up, so how do they get prepared for things? And I think really what they need to focus on, I'll say it, you look regionally or look where you're at, here, the mid-Atlantic states where we're at, you look at some of the hazards and you do kind of a threat assessment. What is the most likely? And you start out being prepared for the most likely. And then from the most likely to the least likely, just try and prepare for those things first. And my thoughts are really in the mid-Atlantic here. Barring some major disaster, which is on the more extreme side, you know, you get our average, I don't want to say disaster, but maybe our average event would be 3 to 5 days with, you know, without power, limited water or access to getting out of your home. So how can you prepare for, what are your needs? Do you have certain medical needs? Do you have family members that need to get out to dialysis? Or do you have specific medication? Now, sometimes medication gets tricky because you have folks that, you know, insurances and stuff like that. You don't get, you may have your 30-day supply, but you don't have 33 days. Now, you can sometimes work with your doctors and they can kind of figure out how that happens, you know, to work around that, to get a little extra supply for a few days of when you can't get out. But the I think really there's your starting point. 3 to 5 days of having limited to no power, limited to no access out of your home, and, you know, questionable water, you know, whatever the event may be. You know, I think that's where people need to start looking at. And that, you know, with your audience, that's going to take them to examine themselves. So that I kind of focus on two things when I've in my career, when I've done some training for folks, self-awareness and situational awareness. What are your own assets and liabilities? And then what is the scenario that you are entering into, and what is your base level scenario, whether it be what is your home scenario, what is your work or school scenario, and start to look at those. And I think if you don't, then you get caught up in the minutiae of and all this overabundance of information that is either information or misinformation, and does it apply to you? So I really think start off with self-awareness or in situational awareness, and then apply it to yourself for the first 3 to 5 days.
Okay. So we're talking the first 3 to 5 days. We're going to talk about self-awareness. We're going to talk about just what type of supplies and things might people need in order to do that. But we're going to talk about that right on the other side of this break. You guys are listening to Average Joe Preps Talk to Me, your host, Greg Bolden, on America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
People often ask me, Malcolm, how do we fight the corruption? Robert Frost has said it best, freedom lies in being bold. Well, for 6 incredible years, Bold is America Out Loud. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold, too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Welcome back, Bold Americans. We are talking the Average Joe Preps. It is a great conversation. We just started talking about the key skills of what somebody wants to examine in their life in order to be prepared for about 3 to 5 days, because Average Joe says that 3 to 5 days is the most common emergency that he's been preparing for in his career to make sure that people are aware of, because it would probably be 3 to 5 days without power, off and on, maybe running water stops off and on, and maybe it's difficult to get from place to place. So when I'm thinking self-awareness, right? One thing that we don't talk about is your psychological well-being and the perspective that you bring to life. Every day we wake up, we have a choice to make, to get out of bed and kick some ass or to kind of sit back in the background, right? And if you're one of those people that are sitting in the background during a crisis where you're in preparation standpoint, you better switch that mindset right away in your own self-awareness to know it's go time. It's time to raise above to another level of consciousness. In your self-awareness, you also have to plan for the psychological and emotional, physical well-being of your loved ones that are going to be traveling with you or that you need to gather, right? So as people are listening to the Average Joe talk about this day, I want you to think about, how many children do you have? Does grandma live with you? Does grandpa live with you? What is their health status? You heard them talk about dialysis. These are all going to be things that complicate matters as we talk about what should be in people's toolkit. Now, Joe, I'm going to tell you what I have.
Please.
So
please.
Maybe this helps people. And then you tell me, let's take it from, you know, you're helping Greg Bolden prepare, okay, and I'm doing my assessment. So I always have a go bag with about 3 to 5 days worth of water in my car. I always have another go bag at the house just in case I got to run out pretty quickly. And in there, I have all my medical supplies. I've taken medication that might need, like Advil, Tylenol, like basic fever reducers and stuff. I even have some antibiotics that I've kind of stored away, because you never know, right? Like, but I've kind of, you know, doctor prescribes and I'm like, you know what, these antibiotics, I think I'm going to be good. I'll put this off to the side for later.
Oh, you're supposed to finish those, Greg.
Oh, I never started them. You can't finish what you don't start. You know what I'm saying? But like, I put those to the side knowing, like, you know, they prescribe this. I'll go fill it up, but I'll use it for like an emergency situation. Mm-hmm. And I know they have a shelf life, but
right.
So, you know, I have these bags. I have food that can be prepared over fire. I have flint starters. I got parachute cord. You know, I've got kind of your survivalist type of supplies. And you know me, I got plenty of ammo and I normally have a firearm on me anyway.
Don't know what you're talking about.
I'll tell my listeners, I'm fine with it. I'm a huge 2A guy. But you know, I know that most people, they don't
know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So what should be in the average family's bag of first aid / this is what you need to grab or have on you in event of an incoming or an immediate emergency?
Well, you covered a whole lot there, Greg. I think so let's break it back down a little bit, if you will. You know, you mentioned your go bags, you mentioned different things. So, you know, there's not always going to be an event where we need a go bag. You know, it's going to be, oh, hey, there was a snowstorm or an ice storm that knocked out power for a couple of days and some branches, so some maybe limited access with driving on certain roads till the roads get cleared or what have you, or perhaps recently with the crazy weather we've had in Delaware, we've had a couple more tornadoes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Here. But you know, the weather, and I'm not going to get into climate change, is whether it's real or whether it's not, and what the causes of it are and all that stuff. If you actually pay attention to the weather, which I know you do, the weather has gotten a little bit more erratic in the past few years, or at least different from what our traditional has been, whatever you want to say, or as the reason the weather has been a change in. And that's a factor. I really think that, again, you focus on the go bag. I think your go bag's great. I will recommend that if you, you say you have 3 to 5 gallons of water, check those gallons of water, because they, if it's in the milk jugs, if you will, those tend to leach a little bit. They tend to, even just sitting in a home environment. I would recommend that if people are going to keep water on hand for folks, especially their family or themselves, if you're going to do that, get the you know, the office water cooler kind of jugs, if you will. Those are, one, a little bit more sturdy. Two, they're built to be stored for a little bit of time. And in reality, if you're looking to store water, the guidelines by you know, that people generally stick to is 1 gallon of water per person per day for what you're planning for, which can add up. That's a lot of water to just be sitting around. So that's the other thing. And when we talk about preparedness, you know, a couple things as far as, like, you mentioned food. You know, all those to-go bag foods, you know, as far as, you know, whether they be military MREs. I mean, I got some of those recently, or whether you go and you buy the whatever is online. You know, there's several companies now that do the freeze-dried food, essentially. You know, you can do that, but I'd recommend just getting your basic goods that you already have, especially now that, you know, finances are getting tight. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a single guy, but I know that wasn't a plug, but I'm a single guy that, you know, from my perspective, I kind of just, I get what I eat, you know, on a general basis. Now, I do have some other things that I don't always eat, but you know, I'm buying an extra canned good or two of something that I eat, and kind of trying to rotate those as through, making sure that the freezer is stocked with meat that I, you know, I'm a carnivore. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. It's
no apologies needed on my show. Eat away.
It's from my perspective, it's just, you know, you want to have food that you're going to eat. You want to have, especially, you know, for me, I'm, and I'm sure Greg too, you know, you get an MRE, you're happy, and it's good to go. I know in the Marine Corps, we didn't even use our doggone heaters very often, if at all. So really, what is your level of pickiness with food, and what, and I shouldn't say pickiness, but you may have, like I said, I've recently had some stomach issues myself, if you will. And you may have some issues with the pre-prepared food. So what can you do? And I always say, buy a couple extra of what you already eat. Cycle through those and say, okay, now I've added an extra 2 cans every time I go to the grocery store, and I've gotten, you know, a stock of 3 days of what I normally eat, or your family eats, you know, the kids and stuff like that. So food wise, that's where I would approach it first.
Right.
You know, like I said, the all that freeze dried stuff, the MREs, great. If you have to evacuate, and you're unsure where your next meal is going to come from. You know, but for me, I would say start out with your regular foods first. Now that's for your 3 to 5 days. Now, the other thing is, you know, I have my laptop bag that I may take with me somewhere, or just on me in my truck. You know, I always recommend to people, have some extra food on you. Have some water, whether it be, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm not talking, you know, while I appreciate the 20-ounce bottle of water. no, I do. I'm not kidding. But the, you know, a bigger bottle, you know, whether it be a liter and a half of whatever.
The 20 ounces just so you survive my show. That's all it is.
Oh man. No, I'm stoked to be here, brother. So it's
just making sure you survive it.
No, I'm stoked. I'm probably sweating more than that anyway. So, but I'm still stoked to be here, but I definitely would recommend having water and some snackage, you know, whatever that may be.
Yeah, and if you have children, you know, appropriate snacks for children.
Right.
That's important too, because...
And don't mix up the gummies.
No. Yeah, God, if that's what you partake in, definitely don't do that. That would be horrible for the children.
Definitely don't mistake the gummies.
Only you, Joe. Only you.
No, not me. I can't do it. I still work for the government, so that's not me.
It's no not gum, me. I'm a teacher, and
yeah, we know
no risk in my job.
No, it is not worth a paycheck.
Nope, not at all.
No, but... Advil works for me.
So, all right. So we got the 3 to 5 days. And the most common thing from what you're saying is like the natural storms that we're seeing, the weather. That's kind of could take people out of their house and home or confine them to their home.
I would say more confine them. And then, you know, you look at what is your heat source, particularly we're coming up on winter here, and fuel sources are kind of scary. You know, you don't know what's going on with
the oil's getting really expensive. I just heard that it's almost double the price of what it was last year, and people are choosing not to fill up all the way.
Well, I mean, you're choosing not to fill up with gas. How much is your, you know, your, when I say it's either you got natural gas, you either have oil, or you have electric, you know, you have, you know, what is your heat source for, you know, in the more temperate climates where you're going to have that colder winter or four seasons, if you will. Something to think about, you know. You don't want to sit there and say, oh, I got an electric heater. Well, that's great. What happens if power goes out? What are you going to do, run a generator in your home? Now, I live, you know, I sold my home a while ago and live in an apartment. As a single man, I'm not going to run a generator in there, but no, but one thing we've actually encountered, you know, my experience is, you know, folks will run a generator to stay warm. They're running it in a house.
And they're getting carbon monoxide poisoning.
There you go. Yeah. And that's something that people
really close to their home.
Correct.
And it's being sucked back in. Something people don't know about either. So one of the things I just recently did, I'm putting solar on my home.
Awesome.
I finally made the decision to go solar. And the nice part about that is while I have gas heat, I also have a heat pump. So should I want to turn my gas heat off and just turn the heat pump off on in an emergency situation, you know, that's a way that I can keep my home moderately warm. It's not going to be as warm as gas heat. But people need to think in those terms right now. You know, there's people that villainize solar panels. And I don't think it should be villainized. It's another way to think about sustainability for yourself.
Well, I don't think any of it should be villainized. I think, yeah, you obviously want to operate on, you want to try and do the best you can for the environment. I'm an environmentalist. I love, you know, I love the outdoors. I love conservation. You know, I want clean water and air for myself and my family to have, mm-hmm. you know, so by virtue of being, you know, an outdoorsman, I'm an environmentalist, and I'm all for clean energy, but if you think that it's going to be snapping your fingers and we're going to have a miracle, you know, clean energy wave, you know, throughout the world, while that would be ideal if we could, you know, certainly have enough minerals and resources to come up with solar, wind, or whatever alternative sources, but it's not realistic. Half of my job was working with as a the local representative or the local government representative with the planning for anything dealing with nuclear power plants that affected the area. So like anywhere there's a nuclear power plant, there's a person that was like me that was you know, coordinating or helping coordinate the response or planning for emergencies with a nuclear power plant. I'm not special, but
there's always somebody they put on staff because it's a very critical need for emergency planning.
Absolutely. Correct. So, but in doing that, and you know, you get to see even they, the power companies, are like, yeah, we need, you know, diversity of energy. You know, they can't, one, they're not always going to have the capacity to use the nuclear power plants. Two, they're not going to always had the capacity or fuel for fossil fuels, whatever, whether it be oil or coal or gas. And if they're into alternative forms, you know, not one single form of those energy productions is capable of doing all the needs we have for this country as of yet.
Right.
I'm not sitting here saying it won't ever, but as of yet, it's not sustainable for everybody for all of their needs, and it's the infrastructure is just not there. Heck, we spend more money on the rest of the world's infrastructure than we do our own infrastructure in this country. That's a kind of a gripe I have. But
yeah, I want to ask you a couple questions,
please,
about
please.
Maybe things that people aren't thinking about. Top three most vulnerable things in people's lives that they don't think about on a daily basis.
Top three most vulnerable things, or are you talking about them, their vulnerabilities, or your
things to them? Go ahead. What were you saying?
Well, it's, you know, talking about their vulnerabilities or their threats, you know, threats to them.
Threats to them.
Well, you have external threats and you have internal threats. You have you know, I always tell people when I was doing certain trainings, especially for CPR and active shooter trainings, we would hold as you know your normal. You know your normal customer. You know your normal patron, whoever, or your colleague's normal. And when something's off, you know, trust your gut. When if something's kind of off, I'm not sitting here saying in any way judge anybody, but you can say, okay, well, this isn't the normal thing that comes through here.
Right.
I can question it a little bit. And you mention, like, hey, Greg, do you see what's going on here? And just kind of get it, bounce it off and say, okay, this is, so you made another person aware of it. So I would say you have your internal and external threats. You know, while for a while there, the violent crime, and I'm not sure the recent statistics, was trending down, but if you look at the media, it certainly looks like it's trending up. I can't verify that because I haven't looked at the statistics recently.
It seems like it depends
recently.
Where you live. There are definitely, like, Philadelphia is not a good place right now.
No.
I mean, you don't need the news media to tell you that. It's almost daily of violence and things that are going on in that city. So depends where you live, I believe. Things are trending up.
Well, and that's also another thing is that, you know, I don't want people to get stuck in that false sense of security, if you will. You know, heaven forbid, you know, there's something bad that can happen. I'm not sitting here saying that every place, you know, there's always going to be some danger lurking behind the next corner. But, you know, being prepared to a certain level to defend yourself and others or that are your family or what have you, should be a basic thing that you think of, you know, and in that you want to talk about your, you're not always going to be able to carry a gun. You're not always going to, and if you do, that's great, but are you always going to be able to utilize that? So from my perspective, I think for, physical threats, you pay attention to, if you're in a vehicle, you're paying attention to what's going on around you traffic wise. Traffic's crazy these days. You know, it's more and more people are driving. There's
more and more distracted driving.
That's right. There you go. That's exactly it. You know, so you're distracted driving. So that's one threat. You know, I mean, these may seem like basic things, but every day that's what you face on a higher percentage versus. Mm-hmm. Now, there are these bigger existential threats and stuff, you know, that, sure, you want to think about and maybe address those. But if you're not taking care of the base stuff, there's no point in you taking care worrying about this other big stuff. Because if you can't handle 3 to 5 days or your everyday needs of preparedness and just a basic level of walking through life, what good is being prepared for Armageddon? You're not going to, if you can't get through a day, get through the day.
Right.
You know, that's my thing is you start out with your everyday carry. Then you go from there to 3 to 5 days. And then from there, you build upon it. And we talked about, you know, the increments that we would look to do later. But I think you start out with your everyday. So threats, your normal everyday physical threats, cars, different areas that you may or may not be susceptible to violent crime, you know, and then also medical, you know, internal medical. And when I say, what is your health? You know, what is your family's health?
Look at COVID. I mean, what's come out, what we know now is it was people that were overweight, people that had other medical conditions. They were sitting ducks. And had some of those individuals been taking care of their blood sugar in a different way, been properly medicated to take care of some of their conditions, exercising regularly to have better physical fitness, we might not have lost all the people that we lost. That seems to be what the medical community has pointed out to us at this point.
It's a reasonable thought there.
Not just for, you know, a crisis situation or preparing for the future, but preparing for your health is, you know, I always say, like, and you know, you and I, we're getting older, so we're more in tune maybe with health issues as we're getting older. But I really do believe that the biggest trick that we ever tell people is it's about making money in life. It's about having good health. If you don't have good health, you can't enjoy anything else in life. You can't be prepared for anything else in life. Health is vital. I don't care how much money you could give me if I don't have my health. It's so important.
I mean, I have no interest in being unhealthy and rich. I mean, what am I going to do? Sit in, you know, in a big old house and getting taken care of because I'm too ill to do anything? Yeah, that doesn't interest me.
Nah.
So I think just from a basic preparedness and life perspective, you know, there's several groups and several people, you know, Tim Kennedy has a thing, you know, get fit or die, you know, and while that may be kind of a slogan, I mean, it absolutely is true.
It is.
You know, you know, these basic things, it's kind of like, oh, gee, I didn't think of it that way. Well, you should. I mean, that's kind of how you're...
Been right in front of you the whole time.
Been right there. You know, it's like, this is...
We have a larger problem in America. And we could probably talk for hours on some of these things. But we have a larger problem in America on priorities and the way we work people and don't prioritize health. Mm-hmm. We prioritize work. And then you got to work in your health around it rather than you prioritize health and you work around your health. And then you have some fun around all that too. That takes a paradigm shift. And I thought that maybe we were going to see that after the lockdowns and we're seeing like we're just going back to business as usual. We're not seeing people changing too much of their lifestyles there. But, you know, like I said, that's probably a conversation for another show.
That's a whole other global, that's a whole other global item we can take care of.
Yeah. What I think that I like that we covered today for listeners is this. I like the fact that, you know, a lot of times when we think about prep, right? Preppers, kind of like the extremism. You think about Mylar bags, you think about oxygen absorbers and putting our dehydrated goods. And that's all fine, well, and good. That's not demonizing that. I do that, right? So, you know, I'm not telling my listeners not to be prepared from that level. But what I like about our conversation, Joe, is you're giving people the immediate things that every single family throughout this country can do. And that's why you go by Average Joe Preps here, because it is what the average American has means to do. And so, you know, whether it's the go bag, whether just taking inventory of what's in your pantry and being prepared for 3 to 5 days, these are all really solid things. I would add one thing before we have to go today. I would add in that you should always have something in your car for, especially in the wintertime. All of a sudden, traffic gets really bad. You're stuck for hours on the freeway. Can everybody stay warm? You know, so the blankets, having those in your car during the wintertime, you don't have to keep them during the summertime. That's fine. But just having some of those basic necessities until first aid can get to you and kind of get you to a safer place, it's always wise.
Honestly, I've got a, you know, the old, I either normally have a Marine Corps poncho liner, which is, or Army Whoopi, for the Army guys. They know what that is. Basically, it's just a light blanket. Either that, or I've got the old-fashioned dark green wool army blankets. I would suggest those for.
I was waiting for you to say Snuggie. I could picture you, you know, wearing the old Snuggie.
Dude, I am down. You know, Snuggie and hot chocolate. You know, versus being cold in the car.
If you knew what average Joe looks like, you'd laugh at that. He's not a snuggy guy. He's kind of like a I don't know. If Joe Rogan lifted more at times,
and probably ate more.
Yeah, ate more and lifted more.
Ate a lot more. Didn't ate a lot more and lifted more. But I like I said, I appreciate being here, and I just I know we didn't get into a lot of the list stuff. Now you can go on to, and what I would recommend, if you want an actual list of items that may be good to go out and buy, I would suggest that folks visit the American Red Cross has a again, I have no affiliation with them or anything. I'm just
providing resources. That's all.
Providing resources. I don't want to. I am here on my own accord and not in any way sponsored or working for any agency. So I am just simply saying that. I would say American Red Cross is a good one. You can obviously go to FEMA's website and they have a preparedness section. But the American Red Cross has, in my opinion, I think some really good pamphlets and basic stuff for, again, the average person to be prepared for things. I'd also recommend, we talk about health. Heaven forbid, I'm a big advocate of getting CPR training, CPR and AED training, and basic stop the bleed training. You don't have to be an EMT. You don't have to be an expert, paramedic or an ER doc or anything. But being able to resuscitate or begin resuscitation until emergency responders can get there, for you, your family. And I'm talking your kids too. Having your kids know the idea of how to call 911, and then when they're physically able to, as at a certain age, to do the CPR training, wholeheartedly believe in that. And then you get the basic, hey, being able to put a tourniquet on appropriately, or apply a bandage appropriately. That medical training, just on a base level, walking through life, is to me just essential. I couldn't imagine not having that. I mean, I've had that since I was 14, my CPR card. So, I don't know of an existence prior to that. And right. You know what I mean? So I think that, having your everyday carry items, for Greg and I, that includes generally a 2A item. We can get into all the tactical stuff on another episode probably, but for myself, I always carry a knife and a lighter, some sort of cutting instrument, a lighter, and then generally you can work from anything from there, and honestly, another item, I forgot one more item.
Sure, go for it.
Cash.
Yep.
Cash, money, both a little bit on your person, not a lot. I wouldn't recommend carrying around a lot, but having a little bit of cash money at home safely. If I know it's hard sometimes, trust me, I know that. I am my only stream of income. Being able to store up some cash versus having it all in the bank. You were talking about the financial instability, and now I think that's a longer term issue, but it could be a 3 to 5 day item where you couldn't get, your credit cards don't work at the gas station. Or what have you, or the grocery store. So having, 200-500 bucks in cash to be able to get groceries or gas in those couple days, that credit cards aren't available. Or, and I know this is a grand scheme thing, but the banks don't allow access to, to your funds. So I think having a little bit of cash on hand is definitely a key item. So.
Excellent. Well, there you have it. A little bit of prep to get started here for our first episode with Average Joe. We're going to get him back and get into larger issues, try to go through bigger scenarios each time and go through the tactical conversation, go through the world conversation, and hopefully offer all the listeners something for their needs. Hopefully you found today fruitful. Appreciate the time that you spent here with Joe and I. Joe, thank you for being here.
Hey, I'm I'm just glad you have me. Thank you very much. It's always good to talk about this stuff, let alone get out here and speak as a free man. So this is, I actually get to exercise my freedom of speech.
There you go. Well, we appreciate you being here on behalf of my listeners. I appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation. I'm looking forward to the next one as well. Ladies and gentlemen, that is all for today. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolton on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America.